views, actions, and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good morning and welcome into Saturday Morning Sports Talk here on 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, KVOE, live and local. This morning we are driven by LongbindAuto.com. That's Longbind Auto Plaza. I am Braden Brown leading the charge this morning. No Blake Cripps as he's busy in Oklahoma. He's actually got a basketball game that we'll have on the airwaves on Mix 104.9 this afternoon, and no Tim Miller as well. So I'm leading the charge, but I do have Mr. Ron Thomas in the studio with me as well, just in case anything goes poorly or if I need some help. Good morning, Ron.
I can make it more poorly for you, too.
I don't think we want to have anything like that happen, but it's been a very busy last couple of days. I know teams we cover, plus what's going on across the state with the football championships going on in the high school ranks, but we'll get to those in just a little bit. But we did have a tough loss for Kansas City on Thursday. We're all hoping to have a happy Thanksgiving. Ultimately, they fell 31-28 to the Cowboys. We will be joined by the voice of the Chiefs later on in our show as Mitch Holtis will be joining us around 8:45, maybe 8:50, around that window. We'll have him join us and we'll talk about that Kansas City game. We also had a rough go of it for KU yesterday. They were hoping to become bowl eligible. They ultimately fell to Utah 31-21. This was a three-point game at half, but three interceptions thrown by Jalen Davis. Daniels ultimately kind of hurt them there. And
ouch, yeah, and two of those. One was a pick six, 97 yards. The other one was in the end zone. So, yeah, KU had multiple opportunities to score and actually win that football game. Defensively, they played pretty well against a very high-potent Utah offense, but they just could not get it in the end zone and get the points. Very, very costly turnovers, and that ends the Jayhawks season right there.
Yeah, 5-7, so no bowl game for Lance Leipold and the guys this year. We do have a chance to go to a bowl game today for K-State. We will have that game over on Country 101.7. That pregame coverage is actually going to start at 9 o'clock with an 11 o'clock kickoff. That's K-State against Colorado, senior day for the Wildcats. That should be a fun one. Should be a game that's very winnable for Coach Kleiman.
You'd like the Wildcats' chances there for that, so they should be able to get that done against the Buffaloes of Colorado. They've struggled all year long, and they've had their difficulties both offensively and defensively, so K-State struggled too, no doubt about that, but they should be able to, you would think, come out with a victory today over Deion Sanders' squad.
For sure, and the way the offense looked last week, if you're able to do that against a Colorado team, right, you scored 47 points against Utah last Saturday. Hopefully you can run wild once again.
Well, you know, you rush for over 200 yards in the first half, and you still end up losing the football game after you'd think that there's no way that could possibly happen, but it certainly did, and that was a big blow. We'll see how K-State rebounds, because psychologically, that's got to hurt.
For sure, definitely. We did have a loss yesterday for Emporia State men's basketball. They fell to Oklahoma Baptist 69-48. This was one that you're going up against a team that's ranked number 19 in the nation, and they kind of showed why they are a top 25 team.
Yeah, they played well offensively, a very good team, but Emporia State, you can't compete if you're going to be shooting, what, 26, yeah, 27%. That will not win you very many ball games.
Yeah, and
they were
even worse from behind the three-point arc, so kind of a rough go of it there. But, hey, it's a quick turnaround for Tom Billiter's squad as they're taking on Northwestern Oklahoma today. Mix 104.9 will have the coverage at 2:30 with Blake Cripps, 3 o'clock on the tip-off, so hopefully they're able to get back in the win column with that one. Currently sitting at 2-3. We do have a big show lined up for you today. Brooke Madrano will be joining us as we continue our winter sports preview. We'll talk boys wrestling with him in just a little bit. We'll also have the Emporia State women's soccer coach join us as Blake Cripps sat down with Jane Grimley Gunn earlier this week before the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll put a bow on the women's soccer season. That went very well. And of course, Mitch Holtis will be joining us to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we take our first time out, Still a busy day. We had three high school football championships take place yesterday. One of them right here in Emporia, and we saw South Salina Central grab the victory there over Basehower Linwood.
Yeah, it's Salina Central 51, Baser Linwood 34, the score yesterday in that 5A state championship game. So a good title tilt, great feat season for the Mustangs of Salina Central as they pick up state championship here in Emporia. Boy, I tell you what, we had a great 3A title tilt in Hutchinson yesterday as Andale, not the 3A, it was the 1A.
That was the good one.
Sterling and Rossville, 35-34 Sterling with a one-point win over Rossville in the 1A state title game. And Andale pretty much laid it on Hayden yesterday, 38-6, to win the 3A state championship. So we've got plenty of games going on today. In fact, two, as you mentioned, right here in Emporia. The 6A will be at 1 p.m. Olathe Northwest in Manhattan. And then Bishop, Miege, and Cape and Mount Carmel go at it at 7 p.m. tonight. So bundle up, folks, if you're going to high school football today here.
For sure, with the way that wind is supposed to be. I think we're going to get lucky and not deal with much precipitation as we get to those title games. But if you're trying to throw the ball downfield, good luck for sure. And if you're in the stands, it's not going to be fun either.
Yeah, 40-mile-per-hour winds. That will be a factor in all these games across the state today.
You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk here on KVOE Live and Local. We'll take our first time out and be joined by Brooke Medrano of Emporia High Boys Wrestling after a quick timeout.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, the Red Tag Savings Event is happening now. And that means Red Tag Savings, like up to $8,500 off MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado, 1500 LT Trail Boss Crew Cab, or save thousands with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Or save thousands in interest on a new 2026 Chevy Equinox with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Come see our inventory of top-quality pre-owned models in stock, all Red Tag price too. And let Longmont Service Department keep your vehicle running in safe and tip-top shape for all those holiday fun events and travels too. So why wait for Black Friday? Come in right now and get Red Tag savings today on new Chevy models. Come to Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Prices plus TT&L rebates assigned to dealer.
I'm Ryan Ranke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Northwestern women's field hockey team won their second straight national championship last Sunday, the program's third title in the last five seasons. The Wildcats started their Final Four weekend with an overtime victory against top-seeded North Carolina. Then 2 days later, and playing in their fifth straight NCAA title game, Northwestern knocked off Princeton in double overtime by a score of 2-1. The walk-off goal was fired in by junior Ilsa Trump. The thrilling victory was the final game for reigning National Player of the Year Maddie Zimmer. She tallied up four assists during the weekend and was named the tournament's most outstanding player for the third time in her career.
I'm really happy that I was part of, you know, the teams that were able to lay the groundwork for this, but you know, it's been coming for a while and we're definitely going to sustain it in the future.
More on Zimmer's incredible legacy next on This Week in the NCAA.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Coach Tracy Fuchs, who just completed her 17th season on the job. She won the program's first NCAA championship with Maddie Zimmer back in 2021. Now the pair have three national titles, but Fuchs and the Wildcats have to say goodbye to their departing superstar.
You know, Maddie will go down as the best player in our history and probably, you know, in my opinion, Northwestern athletics overall. She'll be right up there in the top one or two athletes that have ever come through Northwestern, and couldn't be more proud of her. Don't ask another question about her because I'm not going to make it through it.
That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Ranke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back in. Braden Brown and Ron Thomas with you on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're now joined on the phone line by Brooke Medrano, the Emporia High Boys Wrestling Coach. Good morning, Brooke. How's it going so far?
It's great. How are you guys?
Doing good.
We're doing tremendous. Really excited, right? You guys are just 1 week away from the start of a brand new season, but obviously there's been a lot of work to get to this point. Just a couple of practices, a couple of weeks worth of practices in the books. How have those first couple of weeks treated the boys and yourself?
They've been great. Fantastic. Our numbers are good. So I'm sitting at like 83 guys right now. So room's a little tight, but it's okay. I think Thanksgiving was a little rough on a couple of the guys, but it's okay. We're just setting up mats in the high school gym, and we're going to weigh in at 9 o'clock to do our challenge matches.
I know I had a chance to catch up with you and talk with a couple of the guys last Saturday. And when I was talking Thanksgiving with a couple of them, Jackson Goodman as well as Garrett LeBlanc said, hey, we got to watch what we're going to do, and we got to get our workouts in to make sure we're ready for the start of the season. But Jose Vargas is like, I'm grabbing whatever is in my sight, your heavyweight. So I'm sure he was pretty happy on Thanksgiving just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, he was happy. He actually came and his parents are in Mexico right now, so he actually came to Thanksgiving with my family. And, it looked like he enjoyed himself for sure.
We hit on a couple of the guys that went to state last year with Jose Vargas, Garrett LeBlanc, as well as Jackson Goodman. Who's some of the other top returners you got in the room this year?
Well, I mean, we'll have – I'm just trying to go from the weight classes up. I mean, we'll have Jackson – we'll have Gabe Wassum is back. He'll be there. He's returning. Well, he didn't place last year, but the year before he placed. He'll be there. Holden Timmons should have went to state, but at regionals he was in the blood round and had some episodes, so we just had to pull him from the tournament. He should have qualified. So just trying to think of the guys that we have returned. We got a pretty solid squad. I'm pretty excited. Colton Wyatt's back. He's a 2-time state qualifier. We're looking tough.
You mentioned challenge matches today, Coach. How intense will these matches be? Pretty competitive, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a couple weight classes, yeah, it's going to be pretty – it's pretty deep. I don't know if these weight classes will be what's going to be for the whole year. I think this will just determine, like, if some guys go up or some guys go down. But for the first week, yeah, this will kind of be – where we're at to see what's going on. We got some tough freshmen that are coming in. So I think, you know, that's a good problem to have because they're going to push these upperclassmen to do the right things and keep learning and get better and then keep improving on the mat. So, I'm excited for what's about to happen today.
Yeah, we talked to you about a week ago, Coach, previewing the big Mexican supper coming up on Tuesday, by the way, just in front of the Christmas parade in Emporia. You'll be at the First United Methodist Church. But you're mentioning, you're thinking you guys could be flying under the radar a little bit, maybe a little lack of respect for your, you know, the program and what you might be able to do this year. Are you pretty confident that you can make some waves this year?
Oh, 100%. 100%. No doubt in my mind. These kids are motivated. Couple of them look at the rankings and, it kind of makes them upset. And that's okay. That means they're competitors, you know. But at the end of the day, I tell them all the time, I don't really care about the rankings because rankings don't mean anything. You know, they either put a target on you. For the most part, they put a target on you. And then you got to, deal with that and the pressure. I just think it's just how we finish the season. It's not what's on paper.
I'm going to take a sideswipe, go over and talk about the girls for a second. You mentioned the rankings and putting a target. What have you told your daughter? What have you said to her with her trying to defend her state title?
That's 100% what I said. You got a target on your back. People are coming at you. So she's not sure exactly what weight class she's going to go yet. Last year she won it at 120. I think she's going to start the season at 125. She's confident. She believes in herself. She thinks she's got a good shot to win it at either 120 or 125. And I said, just start at 25 and see how you feel there. And, you know, if you think you can dominate there, just why cut more weight, you know? So we're just kind of just playing it out right now and just seeing how she feels and go from there. But, no, I'm excited for her. She's got a good head on her shoulders right now. So I think that – she's going to do good things.
back to your team and your wrestling room. 80 kids, how do you find time to be able to work with that many guys? I'm sure it takes an entire village of your coaching staff to be able to help with that.
Yeah, I mean, I got a great staff. I mean, with Coach McClure, Coach Mason, and then Coach Spalding, we have a great staff. So the perks to having a four-time state champ, you know, and a Division I wrestler in your college room that with Coach Spalding, that a lot of times what I'll do is I'll split, you know, the more advanced guys with not as advanced, and I'll kind of run with the not as advanced and show some technique to them why Coach Spalding can you know, work with the more of the higher level guys and keep pushing. And that way no one's falling behind or no one's not learning anything.
I know you probably don't want to say anybody has their spot kind of given to them wrestling-wise. What are some of the most competitive in your own room right now to where you don't know who's going to be wrestling at a certain weight class?
My whole kind of middle lineup, so like 132, 138, 144, 150 is right around there. All those are kind of just a toss-up. So they all kind of walk around about the same weight. So we'll see what happens today. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you mentioned Dusty and a four-time state champion and, of course, a Division I wrestler. Was Jesse West back in town last month or earlier this month, Coach?
Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah.
He came back to run like a little, you know, preseason camp.
Yeah.
For us. It was pretty awesome. Held there at the Best Wrestler facility. And, you know, it was good to see Jesse. Jesse and I grew up together. My mom and his mom, both single parents, they would travel to the kids club tournaments, and Jesse and I would just be in the back. Like, I can't even count how many trips we took together. So he's like a brother to me.
Yeah, he ended up with a great college career too, and it was probably good to see him. And the camps went okay then?
Oh yeah, it went good. Of course, I had to give him some Emporia High wrestling gear. So I got him a shirt to wear, so because I don't know if the ones that he had back in the day would fit him, even though he looks really good. I mean, he's probably 125 pounds,
oh, man.
30 pounds. Yeah, just seems like one of those guys that just lives in the gym, you know. But he does good. The kids enjoyed it, so yeah, it was great to see him and have him back in Emporia.
Yeah, great.
Give you another chance to promote what's going on today. If anybody in the community wants to come cheer on the Spartans, what do they need to do?
Just come to the athletic door entrance of the high school. So it'd be on the east side there, you know, kind of by the swimming pool area to that side. It's open to the public. My whole bracket wrestling is open to the public. So my boys will start wrestling at 10 o'clock. And then the girls will join us at 2 o'clock. So the 2 o'clock will be the finals for us. And then Coach Russell will have some challenge matches for the girls. So if anybody's bored, because the weather doesn't seem too good right now.
Yeah.
If they're bored and they want to come inside and watch some wrestling, should be some good matches, and they get to kind of preview what we're going to have this year.
And your season?
And, the entrance, all we ask is like a donation for like, not like money-wise, just like, you know, bottled water, granola bars, stuff to feed the kids.
Okay.
And we'll just split it up when we're done.
So when does the season start then, Coach?
Next Saturday.
Okay. And,
yes,
of course, you've got a big fundraising Mexican supper coming up at the First United Methodist Church on Tuesday. When do you start serving food?
4 o'clock.
All right.
And are tickets still available for that, or did you guys already sell out?
Well, we closed down our paper tickets and our QR code sales. But we do have, you can purchase some there, but that's just limited. So it's first come, first serve, just because we had to buy the meat ahead of time. So.
Okay.
Awesome. I don't know exactly the number, how many we have, but we should have some if you get there early enough.
Awesome. Brooke Medrano from Emporia High Boys Wrestling. We always appreciate his time. Coach, before we let you get out of here, a successful season, what would that mean? How many guys would that mean wrestling at the state tournament?
Man, if I could have all 14, that'd be great.
There we go, yeah.
But just our regional is so tough that, I mean, you just never know. I mean, I'm always leaving a couple guys home that if we were in the East Regional, they'd be going, you know. That's just kind of how our regional is. But, you know, my thing is not really looking at that. I think we really promote effort in the room and keep in discipline, you know, just trying to just improve every single day. And I think if they just keep competing and keep improving every single day, that, you know, when it comes time for regionals and state, they should be there or be pretty close to get there. So, you know, it's based more individually, and when people do those right things, then the team grows.
Awesome, Coach. We appreciate the insights. Can't wait to see the boys out on the mat. And, again, just 1 week from today, you guys will be in Junction City for the tournament. Good luck this year.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Brooke Majano, Emporia High Boys Wrestling, and that puts a bow on our winter sport preview. We're getting ready to put a bow on the end of the Emporia State women's soccer year as James Grimley Gunn caught up with Blake Cripps earlier this week. We'll have that interview for you next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 1400 AM and 96.9 FM KVOE, live and local.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, the Red Tag Savings Event is happening now. And that means Red Tag Savings, like up to $8,500 off MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado, 1500 LT Trail Boss Crew Cab, or save thousands with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit, or save thousands in interest on a new 2026 Chevy Equinox with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Come see our inventory of top quality pre-owned models in stock, all Red Tag price too. And let Longmont Service Department keep your vehicle running in safe and tip-top shape for all those holiday fun events and travels too. So why wait for Black Friday? Come in right now and get Red Tag savings today on new Chevy models. Come to Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Prices plus TT&L, rebates assigned to dealer.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union's convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbonAuto.com. Hope you'll join me later on today. I'll be on Mix 104.9 for Emporia State Basketball. But earlier this week, ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, I wanted to wrap things up with Emporia State Lady Hornet Soccer. A very successful year, a return to form, as Emporia State made it to the semifinals of the MIAA tournament, finished the year with a 9-6-5 record, a 5-2-5 mark in the second year of the Jane Grimley Gunn era. So one more win in conference play and a much better winning percentage, and a couple more wins, three more wins in overall on the record. So I wanted to talk with Coach Grimley Gunn to wrap up the season and talk about the Lady Hornets returning to the top of the MIAA. Well, Coach, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining me here for the Thanksgiving, before the Thanksgiving holiday. Overall, have you kind of had time to put this 2025 season in perspective for you?
Yeah, it was obviously a little bit salty at first because you're like, we just wish we could have done a little bit more. But all in all, like, I think we had we're really pleased, I guess you could say. We had a really good year.
For you guys going down the stretch there and playing so well defensively, I mean, you guys held teams to one goal or less in all but one of your last seven matches, and you even won that match because you shut out Washburn in the second half. What allowed you guys to click so well defensively in the second half of the year?
I think it was just that sheer, like, will and determination, honestly, led by our upperclassmen. Understanding that those were some of our toughest games. I think that's one thing that was really difficult about our schedule, was our final four games or so were really the top teams in the league. And there was just this level of extreme dedication, focus to kind of protecting, you know, our home turf, or protecting that shut out or whatever it may be. But it was a grind. I think that was one thing that we felt, you know, after the season, like it was really, really difficult and very taxing on our team. And a lot of those players who were really significant contributors for us all season, we just had a really tough sort of final stretch. And honestly, by the end, we were slightly out of gas, but it's because they really gave 100% in those final matches.
We're talking with Jane Grimley-Gunn, the second year and about to be third year head women's soccer coach for Emporia State. How do you feel like you're learning what it's going to take to win in this league and compete in this league? Certainly, you've gotten a taste now with two full seasons, one full recruiting class under your belt, and obviously a step in the right direction this year.
I think it's really exciting because we're very, very close. I think when we look at our conference record, like we only had two losses in conference. And the biggest, for me, focus, the separating factor is like we have five ties. If you change a couple of those ties to results and if we're a bit more aggressive and front-footed in the future, I think that really changes the outcome of our season and where we finish and our outlook for the national tournament. So we're right on the cusp because we know we're able to hang and compete. We just need to push ourselves over that line to where we're really turning some of those into the win column.
For you guys looking at your roster, certainly there are going to be a lot of players returning for you that had some great experience this year. And, I mean, I think chief among them is going to be Ella Favot, the freshman from Canada. She had a fantastic freshman year for you. What allowed her to step in and be such a big contributor for you right away?
I think the best thing that prepared Ella is she actually has been in the States for a year now. She went to a boarding school, which really prepped her, I would say, really well for the college environment, kind of the cadence and the schedule, which allows a freshman to come in and, I think, have an immediate impact, where for others it's hard, right? It's a lot of change at once. It's sometimes overwhelming to get your feet under you as our season starts and classes start all at the same time. So I think she just had a bit of an edge, and I'm really excited to see what that looks like now as a sophomore and as a junior, now experiencing the MIAA, which was new for her, and a bit more physical maybe than Canada, a bit more, I don't know, demanding in certain ways, but she's really got the hang of it, and she's going to excel as the time goes on.
And certainly it seemed like Megan Kephart had a much, much bigger role in, you know, what you guys were doing offensively this year. She made 20 starts compared to 3 the year before. She had 5 goals and 17 points compared to just 1 goal and 3 points last year. I want to ask about her specifically, but also about the entire team. How much more does she and all of your Lady Hornets kind of understand what you guys are trying to get out of your offense and this possession style that you want to play?
Yeah, honestly, even last spring is kind of where we started seeing Megan start to turn a corner, where she was doing things that looked true to a sophomore, right? As a freshman, I think she was falling into that category of trying to get her feet under her and figure out what was going to help her have success. And then come the spring, where we can really dive into the specifics, we saw a ton of growth. It was really exciting. It's great to see it finally come to fruition this fall. And that's something we've really been talking about with the girls. It's like, it's a 4-year plan. You know, it takes a little bit of patience and buy-in to start to see the results that you want, because they're all great, talented players that have come from different environments where, you know, things may have been a little bit easier, and then you come into this really competitive league in Division II, one of the best, where it's like everybody now has that skill set or that ability. So it's how can you still remain as successful as you were with all of the factors changing? I think it's just taking a bit of time, which I think is normal, and as it should, to make sure that we're laying the foundation. And I think we've taken really big steps collectively this season. I just am so excited to see what it looks like a year from now.
We're talking with Jane Grimley-Gunn, just wrapped up her second year here in Emporia with the Emporia State women's soccer team. Certainly, you're going to have some players to replace, though, with the Goen twins and Abby Bachman, Asta Kristen daughter, and some others as well that are going to be departing the program here with their time complete. Peyton Pipes played a 1 year as a graduate. What has this group kind of meant to you, and especially, if you could, the players that stayed from the previous coaching staff? And I know that you really feel like they were really instrumental and helping you build this foundation here for Emporia State for your era to begin.
No, they were. I think we're actually in a really fortunate position with a couple of them. So Michaela Goen actually has a medical redshirt year.
That's true.
To return. Peyton Pipes has a medical redshirt year, so she's likely to return. And Austin Kristen's daughter even has a medical redshirt year. So we have the potential for all three to come back. Obviously, you know, they're still working through what the next phase of life looks like, and I'm hopeful that both Michaela and Peyton, and I, Asta's even considering. So we're in a really good spot, honestly, with sort of losses in that class, which has honestly helped us, I think, continue to lean on their experience. But regardless, that group has been really instrumental. I know how difficult a coaching change can be. I experienced it myself as a player, and obviously taking on different programs through my time, it's difficult on both ends. And they were incredibly receptive and continue to be, and have been some of my favorite players to coach. Like, they are fantastic people, which I think is the biggest thing at the foundation. Like, you root for them, right? And they really want things to work. They want the program to be successful, which makes it all the better. But yeah, we'll miss a couple of them, but I'm hopeful that we can keep a couple of them too.
For sure. And you know, a couple of those, it seems like the players that you are going to be departing are mostly on the back end, although Abby Bachman kind of moved into some different spots for you this year. She was listed as midfielder on a number of the box scores, but listed as a defender in her All-MIAA, and certainly replacing the Goen twin in goal. Those are going to be two tough losses. How do you go about replacing those two ladies on the back end?
I don't think they are replaceable, if I'm being honest. Like, I think we're going to have to adjust a little bit and figure out how we look a year from now without them, because they were so unique in what they offered. Abby was such a presence throughout her 4 years, and she's just a fantastic athlete, like a fantastic, just unique individual, like so competitive and so driven. And Ken's is like just steady, kind of the opposite of Abby. That's what made them such a great pairing, was just very reliable and composed and someone that you could really just lean on. And I don't think we'll get the same exact, I guess, prototype, which I think is good. I think it's okay. It's good to evolve as a program. So we'll just look for who's ready to kind of step up into those different roles, leadership roles as well. But I'm excited for that. I think it's just a way that we can continue to evolve and transition into the next phase of Team 26 or whatever it might be. But I don't think we could replace them, because they offer something really special.
For you guys, looking at how you played, and you mentioned, boy, if we could just have, you know, changed a couple of these ties, and I know that's something you guys probably have thought about, and there were some matches where there were some chances, but it's like, man, if we could just score a couple more goals here or there. How did you feel like about where the offense was at the end of 2025?
Yeah, I think we made huge strides. So, like, I think I'm very appreciative. I think, honestly, like, everything ends up being fair. I'm big on that. Like, I think the ball doesn't lie. That's the saying that they say in soccer quite often. It's like, I don't think you deserve anything. I think you just get what you get. So I think it's fair how things ended up. I think we took a lot of steps forward, which is really important for me. And I know the girls as well. I think it really allowed them to understand what this team could be capable of. And honestly, themselves, like, believe in themselves and believe in their abilities. So that was positive. But at the same time, I think, yes, we still have some games there where we really could have been more clinical, or we could have potentially gotten the result. But that's part of the game too. Like, I don't fault, you know, the players on that. I think, you know, we can't have crazy expectations, but in the future, with a bit of time, bit of refinement, more development, I'm hopeful that some of those begin to fall into place.
Last thing for you here, where do you go now in terms of recruiting? Certainly an off season and a Thanksgiving holiday coming up for you this week, but I know that it's not going to be too long before you're back at the grind, and probably have already been recruiting since the end of the MIAA tournament. So where do you guys go from here in terms of getting ready for 2026?
Yeah, we're actually in a really good spot already, which is fortunate. So we've got 7 players who have signed, who will all be true freshmen, which is great. I always think it's brilliant to bring in that youthful energy and really focus on development with some of them. But I do expect them to still be able to come in and compete now that we have a really good idea of who we are, what we need, and add some necessary depth, honestly, because we're shooting for postseason success. And by then, you know, things happen, injuries happen, you pick up some wear and tear. So I think that group will be instrumental. But also we're looking at, you know, how can we bring in a couple of experienced players, transfers. We're very close on a goalkeeper that I think will really help us, who's a bit older, to kind of add some balance to our really young returning roster. So we're just looking for ways to become as complete as possible, I would say, and bring in different individuals with different backgrounds from different areas, and just see how we can kind of take that next step forward with some more uniqueness. I think that's what we really strive and excel in, is having different players of different qualities who are very adaptable. So I think we're just trying to figure out how we can kind of level up in that way.
Jane Grimley-Gunn wrapping up the 2025 Lady Hornets soccer season, her first winning season in Emporia, and a return back to the MIAA soccer tournament, joining us here on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Coach, happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays. Thanks for your time. Congratulations on the year.
Thank you so much, Blake.
Good morning. This is Judson Richards. We're doing the NFL. The 8-3 Bears taking on the 8-3 Philadelphia Eagles. Bears searching for a signature win, and they found one.
Second down and 8, but the guys up front playing as good a football as we've seen on the offensive line in a long time. Ball on the 28. Snap to Caleb. Fakes to Swift. Rolling to his left. Being chased. Going to throw deep. He's got Komet over the shoulder. End zone. Touchdown, Bears. Touchdown, Cole Komet. What a play call by Ben Johnson. And a throw perfectly timed. Caleb to Cole. Bears extend the lead 23-9.
The call on ESPN 1000, Bears finished with 281 yards on the ground to win its fifth straight game, 24-15, the final there. We'll go to college football now. Third-ranked undefeated Texas A&M Aggies taking on 16th-ranked Texas Longhorns. But after four quarters, the Aggies weren't undefeated any longer.
It's final. Texas hands Texas A&M its first loss. The Longhorns win the Cotton Holdings Lone Star Showdown. Final score tonight, Texas 27, Texas A&M 17.
That's a call from Craig Way from Learfield. In Starkville, Trinidad Chambliss threw for 359 yards and four touchdowns. And number 7, Mississippi, beat Mississippi State 38-19 in the battle for the Golden Egg. But all everyone want to talk about is where was head coach Lane Kiffin going?
You told us this week you had not made up your mind as to what you would be doing next season. At this point, have you made up your mind?
No, I haven't. I got a lot of praying to do to figure that out tomorrow, but right now I'm just going to go enjoy these players. I told them last night, you're going to win your 11th game, and all I want to do is experience joy watching you, and that's what I'm about to do.
Kiffin is set to make a decision on his future today and will announce whether he'll go to LSU or stay at Ole Miss. By the way, Kiffin was joined by Taylor McGregor on ESPN.
Don't miss Macy's best deals of the year. Hurry in and shop epic Black Friday deals on this season's best gifts before they're gone. Like men's and women's boots for just $19.99. Coats for the whole family, 60% off. Levi's jeans and denim, 40% off. Plus, 50% off top beauty gifts from Yves Saint Laurent, Armani, and more. But hurry, these deals end tonight at Macy's. Savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Saturday morning sports talk, driven by Longbine Auto, longbineauto.com. That's Longbine Auto Plaza. Joining us now on the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line, we got the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Mitch, good morning. We appreciate your time. As always, your appearance is made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Gerald Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, MLS 424226. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning. Well done on reading that Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
For sure.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving weekend, y'all.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Mitch. Well, you know, the Chiefs didn't leave a big good taste in our mouth, did they, Thanksgiving Day?
No, this team's worn to a frazzle. And there were a couple, you can boil it down to two areas. On the defensive side, is the obvious is trying to get off the field. Yeah. To 3rd and 7 or more, the Cowboys got 93 yards in those circumstances. And those are usually, those are times you get off the field on 3rd down. And then the game-killing penalties, Chiefs get a touchdown, short field, possession 1, possession 2, nice drive. Got 14 points in 2 possessions. 3rd possession, a holding penalty, which is controversial, on Josh Simmons. And then the 4th possession, a hold on Josh Simmons, which was a hold. Then the 5th possession, offensive pass interference, that was a little controversial. And then in the 8th possession, holding on Mike Caliendo. That's enough to kill a team with the 3rd down issues, and you only lose 31-28. Very frustrating and very exasperating, but this team is worn to a frazzle. To ask this team to do what they have done so this last several years, honestly, but then with this schedule, they gave it all they had, and yet wasn't enough.
You mentioned the offensive struggles there. Great start of the game. You score 14 points. Fourth quarter, you score 14 points. But it's that second and third quarter where they go silent and no points put up on the board. And that's something I know I've heard you talk about, you know, the double dip, which is the end of the second quarter and the start of the third quarter. But you can't go, you know, an entire 30 minutes of game action without scoring.
Well, and the fact that it's just been reoccurring in the losses. In the wins... but it's just stupid to think that in 12 games we've had those, we've had that 10 times. You may get, usually it's 50-50, right? You get 6 out of the 12. We've had 10 out of 12, and 5 out of the 10, we've been great. That's 5 wins in the 5. And then one time we won, we didn't do great. So it's really 4 over 6 or 7 here because you just shoot blanks. And when you have the other issues we just talked about, it's too much to overcome. You've got to be able to have productivity at the end of a half and at the start of the third quarter. And that's what the Cowboys have done. They're number one in the league in that situation, scoring at the end of the second quarter and the start of the third.
Now, Mitch, you know, the defense has had some pretty decent performances this year and has played well, but we really have a tough time on the turnover front and the last couple of games, you know, pressuring the quarterback. We didn't get much pressure on Dak Prescott on Thanksgiving.
Borderline miracle, this team is 6-6 with only 10 takeaways. And you saw the impact, heard the impact of the early interception, which led to the short field touchdown. All right, that's one. But really it's the third and long, and that goes back to your pressure or the lack thereof or four-man pressure. You shouldn't have to blitz to get pressure all the time. And because then you want to drop 7 into coverage and play zone, play the sticks. Third and 8, you're playing the sticks. I'm playing zone underneath. Then I got to get pressure with 4. The quarterback just can't sit back there and make it a 7-on-7 drill. And this third and long now goes all the way back, guys, to the preseason. Actually saw some of it in OTAs and in camp. And then in the preseason games, it happened. And then you go to the first game in Brazil, it happened, where they convert a third down and long. That was the scramble by Herbert. But I can walk you through all through the year. I'm going to have to sit down and probably research this and do it empirically to see how many times this team has had third down and 7 or more, and you should get off the field. NFL defensive coordinators, that's what's on their Christmas list. Give me 3rd and 7 or long. And we're not getting them off the field at all. In fact, they're getting big plays. And that's happened time and time again. So it's not just pressure, guys. It's also coverage on the back end and trusting your technique. The 5 defensive pass interference penalties are ridiculous. Now, are they all DPIs? But to get called 5 times and a half, the most in 35 seasons, I mean, 2 of those were on Trent McDuffie, who's an all-pro corner. And you got to, man, that's a rough one to take. But still, you got to figure this out. And you got Houston coming in with Nico Collins, and so the third and long has got to get fixed if the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs.
You mentioned Trent McDuffie, and that was where I was wanting to weave this conversation with the defense. He's been tremendous all year long, but going up against 2 really good wide receivers for the Cowboys, CD Lamb and George Pickens, both of them were able to call their shots and, you know, 112 yards, 88 yards. Now, I know not all of that was against McDuffie, but he had his worst game of the season. I know it's the best wide receivers the Chiefs have probably gone up against, but you expect better than that, even from someone that is an all-pro talent.
One, it's a bad matchup. And because they're really good, both those guys, Lamb and Pickens, who's reborn, he was just a complete no-factor, actually helped us win the Pittsburgh game last Christmas. But the fact that they're big and their ability to get off press coverage, we play so much press man-to-man with our corners that it's a matchup. Who's good even if they're talented receivers who can get off press? That's why we've actually given some trouble to Ja'Marr Chase. But these two guys and the way they run slants, and let's give Dak Prescott some credit on being accurate on his throws. But it was one bad matchup because Trent got overpowered on a few, but there were a couple Trent won that they didn't give him the benefit of the doubt and called a flag. So, yeah, bad night for Trent, wasn't as bad as it probably should have been. But still, so much press. You know, you can sit there wailing and gnashing your teeth. And it's a worthy discussion, I think, with the Chiefs. I go back to playing the sticks and playing some man-zone combo or playing some zone. But the Chiefs love to blitz. And to blitz, you're going to have to play press man-to-man. And so you got to win some of those battles. But your matchup, when you got really good man-to-man, get off the press receivers like that, sometimes you got to rethink your strategy.
Well, it's been rugged. Unlike the last handful of years, Mitch, we have been a spoiled crew with this Kansas City Chiefs and the victories and the wins. And you alluded to this. We've had a lot of long seasons. They played a lot of football. And does it come into now Coach Reid kind of keeping the ship steady? Any finger pointing? What's the attitude of the team? You know, we haven't faced this for a while.
No, there's no finger pointing. This team's culture is exceptional. But what they are on is they're beat up. This group is worn to a frazzle. There wasn't a word said by anybody on the bus or on the plane. And we were dealing with injuries going in on a short week because this team has been asked to play two late-night preseason games, then Brazil, which was awful. That trip was just awful. That worn us down right away. Then you had to play Sunday night on the road, Monday night on the road. You're playing 325 windows on the road. And so it has been a tall task to ask this team to do what it has done. And so now injuries come into play. No Trey Smith, no Christian Wallace, no Noah Gray in the game at Dallas. But now you lose three more guys because we lose Brian Cook early in the game. And then the injury to Josh Simmons, which doesn't look good. And then you've got the injury also as well to Juwan Taylor. And you're going to be down two tackles, maybe, going into Houston, whose outside pass rush right now is the best in the league. We'll talk about it next Saturday. But those guys absolutely embarrassed Buffalo. They embarrassed him. And that's Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. That's two established good tackles. One's a Pro Bowler. So you ask, there's nobody finger pointing, but man, you're checking, you're in retreat here, checking your casualty list, going, we got to figure out a counterattack, but how are we going to do that? First, they got to get some rest. Second, they got to get some injury evaluation and quick rehab here for the guys that can come back and try to attack December as best they can.
So the margin for error is now, Mitch, less than slim. We got to win out here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were kind of saying that going into the Colts game, where it's now a series of one-game seasons, which is a nice way of saying you better win out. Or in that instance, win six of the seven. Now you just got to do it. The AFC's too clogged up, and we don't have tiebreakers with a lot of these. Other than the Colts, we don't have tiebreakers with anybody else right now. So it's just the Texans, the only game that's ever been played in the history of the earth. That's the way you got to look at it. We got to get rest first and try to get as healthy as we can second.
Do you think the Chiefs will still be betting favorites the rest of the way, or do you think you know, Las Vegas will finally be like, the Chiefs shouldn't be favored in all their games like they have this year?
Yeah, I don't pay tons of attention to all that. I know that's a big deal now, bigger than ever probably. More money's now spent on betting and prop betting than going to the movies or to the theater. That's across the country. And so I know that's either, I find it somewhat humorous too. Then I find it somewhat troubling in some ways. But anyway, got to protect the game from all that. Gets bigger and bigger. No, I don't think so. And they probably won't be favored against Houston, depending on how our injury list looks coming back.
Well, early look ahead, and again, I know you said you don't talk betting. Kansas City is a 5.5-point favorite. So,
wow,
that's crazy. Wow,
I have no idea. You know, okay, fine. We just got to win 1-0. You know, if we get Salvi, we'll sign Salvi to hit a home run. Move on.
Well, all right, Mitch, we certainly appreciate your time, and we enjoy, you know, listening to you and your call on Country 101.7 FM. It's a Sunday night game, so we'll have a pregame at 6 and kick off after 7 o'clock. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
It really kind of didn't happen. So not yet. I don't know. We're trying to figure this out on the fly. But thanks for that. But I was going to give this a shout-out to high school football with, man, we got some bad weather today for these state championship games. But yesterday, there were remarkable games. And I know Opie usually is, you know, they're a factor in 1A, as is Smith Center. But, man, 1A was awesome.
Ooh, yeah.
It boils down to Sterling winning 35-34 over Rossville. And so that's just the way the classification was all year. So just a shout-out to our high school teams, the high school coaches and players who work so very hard.
Awesome. Thank you, Mitch, and we'll chat with you next Saturday.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. Yeah, Mitch Holt is voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, Mitch knows the mascots of every high school team here in this six-state region, maybe all over the USA. But you hear him reference that a lot during his broadcast. Mitch does outstanding work, and we enjoy having the Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, call on Country 101.7 FM. And be listening for the Mystery Players, because you still have an opportunity to qualify for that 55-inch 4K LED smart TV from Triad Leasing.
And we'll hear more from him tomorrow on Chiefs Kingdom.
Indeed.
Not tomorrow, but on Monday night.
Monday,
right? Yeah. His appearance brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. MLS 424-226. All right, Ron, I think we survived. We made it through. We're past the 9 o'clock hour, so I think we can wrap things up here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, powered by LongBuyAndAuto.com. But before we say goodbye, don't forget, Kansas State football coming up. The pregame coverage should be on right now at 101.7 Country FM, so we'll go and check on that as soon as we sign off here, and with kickoff at 11 as K-State Senior Day playing host to Colorado. And then on Mix 104.9, we are looking forward to Emporia State men's basketball as they take on Northwestern Oklahoma. 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock tip-off with Blake Cripps. That's, again, Mix 104.9. And in about 90 minutes from now, we'll have pregame coverage for Rivalry Weekend in college football right here on KVOE. It will be Ohio State and Michigan squaring off. That's always a fun one.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us today on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. For Ron Thomas, I'm Braden Brown. We've been powered by LongBuyAndAuto.com here on 1400 AM and 96.9 FM KVOE, live and local.
This fall, Hornet Talk moves to a new time and a new location. Hi, it's the voice of the Hornets, Blake.